This is HPR episode 1903 entitled, Some Further Bash Tips, and is part of the series, Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris, and is about 29 minutes long. The summary is, some more information about types of expansion in Bash.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everyone, this is Dave Morris. Got another talk about Bash for you today. Now, what I've been doing so far with Bash is to, I suppose, just sort of pick and choose bits and pieces that I've found myself and thought you might be interested in, or things that that have taken me a long while to understand that I wanted to make sure I understood, and so I decided to share them with you. But The way things have come together, I've been concentrating to a fair degree on the subject of expansion. That's where Bash processes the command line and does various things to it to prepare it. It's come under the general heading of expansion. So we looked at brace expansion in the last one of these, 1884. We looked at parameter and variable expansion, which was, I think, the first one I did in this series. 1648 was the number. Well, today we're going to look at tilde expansion and command substitution. I've listed out the various types of expansion in the notes, and there are long notes for this, by the way. There's quite a few subjects there, so I'm just sort of doing them slowly in chunks to avoid producing enormously long, tedious shows. So let's look at tilde expansion. This is a convenient way of looking, of referring to, I should say, a home directory when you're writing a file path, when you're LSing it or CDing to it or something. There are some other uses of tilde expansion as well, which I have to admit I didn't know about until I started putting this show together. So this is why these are fun to do, because I learn stuff along the way. So if you use the tilde all by itself, that's the first form. Imagine you logged into your user account on a Linux machine, and you've changed directory to the documents directory. I use that because you tend to get one of those whether you wanted it or not. Now, if you wanted from there to look at your .bashrc file, we've never looked at that in this series, bashrc. It's where you can set up lots of stuff about bash. I should add it to the list, I think, talk about it sometime. Anyway, if you wanted to look at it, then you could type less being a useful way of looking at stuff in a paged form, space /.bashrc. Now, the .. just means the directory above this one, the parent directory. So that would do it. You could also type $home, where home is in capitals, /.bashrc. So that means look for the .bashrc in my home directory and show me that. The third possibility, there are probably others as well, would be /tilde/.bashrc. So what this does, what the tilde does, is the same as what the $home example did. It looks in that directory to find the .bashrc. In fact, the tilde, plain tilde like this, is a direct equivalent. It actually uses the contents of the home variable. Now, when I was looking at this, I thought, oh, I wonder what happens if you change the home variable. And of course, it does work. It if you change it and then cd to tilde or ls tilde, you see a different directory. And I've put an example in the notes of I just use echo followed by a space and a tilde, and that then just shows you what's generated by the tilde. And I use a demo account for this, and so I get back /home/HPR demo. Now if I cd to documents again, and I type the command, it's a variable assignment in fact, home, that's in capitals, equals $pwd. Now pwd is a variable that contains the current directory you're in. It's changed for you behind the scenes by bash. So what I've done is to set home to this documents directory. If I then do echo tilde, I see /home/HPR demo/document. So this is all fine and dandy, but I then discovered this is enormously confusing, so I would not recommend that you do it. But it's just a point, really, to explain what's going on. So as I said in the notes, this is a demonstration, not a recommendation. Now, the next form we'll look at is where the tilde is followed by a login name, or what some people call a username. And not too surprisingly, that refers to the home directory of that login name. So I put in my example echo space tilde HPR demo, so that's the login name, and it comes back saying /home/HPR demo, not too surprising. Then I typed echo space tilde Postgres, that's the user that is the sort of controlling the master user for the PostgreSQL database system, and it has the home directory /var/lib/PostgreSQL. Why they have these directories, the home directories, is a subject for another day, but that's what it does. It then occurred to me when I was writing these notes that maybe you should be aware of how to, if you ever did fiddle with your home variable, how you could set it back to something sensible again. You can just log out and log back in again, of course. But if you did what I've done in my example here, which is home, that's in capitals, equals tilde HPR demo for my particular case, then what that will do, as we just saw, is it will return the home directory of this user. And it gets it from the etc password file. The etc password is the place where a lot of stuff is defined about usernames, about login names. So echo tilde then gives me the proper home directory for the account. Another sort of slight warning, which may not be relevant to you, is when you're typing the login name, if you've forgotten what it is exactly or how to spell it, and you know it begins with something or other, like many things in tab, you can in bash, you can use a tab command, a tab key, to get auto completion. Well, this works here too, which is fine. So if I were to type echo tilde HPR and then press tab, then there's only one HPR, only one login name beginning with HPR on my machine, so it'd come back with HPR demo. But I used to work in a university which had various points in the year up to about 50,000 login names, all of which were available to the tilde command. So if you pressed a tab after typing the first letter, then the system would have to search all 50,000 login names to find out which one was appropriate. Probably would optimize that a bit, but I can tell you it would be amazingly slow. It certainly was in the place I worked. So just be aware, if you use it in that sort of environment, just be careful. Now, there are other forms of the tilde expansion, and the first one is a tilde followed by a plus sign. What this does is to expand the contents of the pwd variable. We saw that a little while ago. This is the thing that tracks which directory you're in, and this is kept up to date by bash automatically. So in my example, if you cd to the documents directory, assuming you're in the top level, then echo space tilde plus, for my example, you get back /home/HPR demo/documents. So that's just telling you which directory you're in. The main use of that would just be to use it where you might use $pwd, the contents of the pwd variable. There's an equivalent, which is a tilde and a minus sign, and that's another variable which is managed by bash, which is called old PWD, all in capital. That's used to hold the previous contents of PWD. So you can guess that when Bash is updating this PWD variable, it saves its current value into old PWD and then updates it. So the equivalent sort of thing where I show you connect, changing directory to documents, then echoing tilde minus, and you see the previous directory, assuming you started in the home directory, is /home/HBR demo in my example, then echo tilde plus, and then you get /home/HBR demo/document. So that's, it's just really a shorthand for this old PWD. You could use it with a dollar on the front of it if you preferred, make it more explicit. I think that's probably why I didn't know about either of these, because I've never used them, never really felt the need. But you never know. Since I did learn about them, I have used them once, I have to say. So the next tilde type of tilde expansion, perhaps I should say, is where you can access the directory stack. Now, we looked at the directory stack in the show I did, 1843, which looked at pushd and popd and dirs, which allow you to add, remove, and display a directory stack. So a tilde followed by a plus or a minus and then a number, this refers to a directory on the stack. So remember, you can look at the directory by using the dirs, D-I-R-S command. And if you follow that with a space minus V, we can see the stack with numbered entries. So my example shows that. And I'm assuming that the directory I'm currently in, the one labeled 0 in the stack, is document, and the directory that I was in before that was just plain tilde, which is the home directory. And I'm assuming that in order to achieve this, I've used a pushd to get to document. So in such a case, then the tilde sequence tilde 1 or tilde plus 1, both mean the same thing, references the stack element numbered 1. So if you type echo tilde 1 in this example, you will see /home/HBR demo. Notice how it's expanded the tilde. When you look at it with the dirs command, the plain one, it shows it just as a tilde, but when you echo it, you see it fully expanded. If you want to see fully expanded directories, you can put another option to the dirs command. DIRS space minus L space plus 1 would give you the same result. And the minus L option asks for the full form. You might have been as confused about the next thing as I was when looking at the dirs command. You can also ask, refer to stack elements in reverse order. And that's what tilde minus number does. So tilde minus 1 in the scenario we've just looked at would give you the top of the stack. So it would start counting 0 from the bottom of the stack, 1 for the next one. There's only 2 in the stack, remember. So it would come back with /home/HBR demo/documents. And that would be the same as if you typed DIRS space minus L space minus 1. So that is a fun capability. I cannot see myself ever using it. And considering the conversations that followed on from my show on these things, neither will anybody else. But there you go. At least you know it's there. Now, we've been looking at the tilde expansions in the context of file paths and directory paths. So you would have thought that that would be the end of it. You would do ls tilde some directory and you'd see the contents of it. But you can also use it in the when you're assigning values to variables. So my example here shows a variable docs, D-O-C-S, and then that's followed by an equals. Remember, that has to follow immediately after. I've mentioned this very briefly elsewhere. And then the value it's getting, which also has to follow straight after, is tilde/documents. So in other words, store the whatever tilde/documents expands into the variable docs. Then that's followed by an echo space $docs to look at the contents. And surprise, surprise, in that variable we have /home/HBR demo/document. Now, Bash has got a bunch of special variables, the ones that it sort of manages all by itself. And similar, there are similar things used by other packages and software systems. And these sorts of variables sometimes contain a list of paths separated by colon. There's a variable called path, P-A-T-H in capitals, which is used when searching for commands. If you type some command, rhubarb, then it's going to search all of the directories in that path variable to find it, and may not find it, of course. So in my example here, I echo the contents of path variable and get a list of things like user local bin, user bin, etc., etc. I won't read it out. You might have a different one when you come to look at your own. So bash allows the tilde expansion formats that we've already seen to be included in such lists. So in my example, I've taken the path variable and added another thing to the end of it. And bash allows you to do that with plus equals form. So I've got path, that's capital P-A-T-H, plus equals. Then I follow that with a colon, a tilde slash bin. Then echo dollar path returns the same list as before, but with colon slash home slash HBR demo slash bin on the end. So what that will do, what the result of doing that, and it is, could be a useful thing to do, is if you have a directory called bin in your top level, home directory I should say, then that would be the place to put executables that you yourself have produced. So that means you can just type their command, their names, and as commands, and they would be invoked. Now, I make a point of pointing out to you that the value being assigned to the end of path is not enclosed in quotes. Usually you put quotes around the values that you add because there are all sorts of pitfalls with the way that Bash interprets these things and expands them, which is the topic we're talking about. So if they're quoted, you don't get a lot of the expansion applied to it. So if it had been quoted, the tilde expansion would not have happened, and you would have stored the literal tilde slash bin. So now let's look at the second topic that I have for today, and that's the subject of command substitution. Now, in Linux and many other operating systems, you type commands and they return you some sort of output. In the majority of cases, things that do this write to a channel that's known as standard output, sometimes referred to as STD out. Now, it's possible to capture this output channel and to use it in all sorts of ways, and that's really best described as command substitution. So if we take, for example, the date command, this reports a date and optionally a time, and it does it in various formats. So to get today's date in ISO 8601 format, which I've commented is the only sane format which everyone should adopt, so it starts from the largest to and shrinks down to the smallest, so year, month, day, rather than month, day, year, or month, year, day, or, you know, it's like doing time by minutes, seconds, hours. Anyway, sorry, I'm ranting. To do that, to produce such a date, you would type date space plus, and the plus is the thing that says here's a format for the date that I want, date and time maybe, that I want printed. And in this case, it's percent capital Y, which is the year, a hyphen, percent lowercase m, which is the month, hyphen, percent lowercase d, which is the day. Now, if you do that, you will get back a date in that format. I did this on the 4th of November, so I got 2015-11-04. Now, this output could be captured in a variable using command substitution, and my example shows a variable today, called today, in lowercase, equals, and then dollar open bracket, then that date that we just saw, close bracket. Now, echo dollar today comes back with the same thing, the same date, same format. So the thing dollar open parenthesis, then a command close parenthesis, is a command substitution expression, and it's the recommended way to use it. There is an older form which, instead of the dollar and the parentheses uses back quotes around the command. And I've given an example of how the same thing could be done using the back quotes, but I'm not going to discuss them because it's a sort of old form. I think it might well be phased out in due course, though there's a lot of legacy scripts that still use it, so maybe not. But anyway, I prefer to use the parenthesis, the dollar parenthesis one, because it's a lot more flexible. So the text returned by the command is processed to remove new lines. Now, the man page about this seems to say that embedded new lines aren't removed, but in my experiments it seemed that they were, so I'm not quite clear about that. But if you know better, let me know. So I adjusted the plain date command to put out output multi-line output for demonstration purposes. And in order to do that, the sequence percent lowercase n is a way of generating a new line in a date format. This time I've put quotes around the whole thing because there's spaces in the format that I want to output. And my command is date space plus open double quotes today hyphen s today's date. Space date, that is, and then a percent n for a new line, and then the percent y, percent m, percent d thing we had before. And what we get back is today's date is new line, and then the date. Remember, we needed to quote that because it's got embedded spaces in it. Now, if we use the same thing in a command substitution, we get a different result. So in the example here, I'm using today again, equals dollar, open parenthesis, and then that date command we just saw, close parenthesis. And then when I do echo dollar today, I get today's date is space 2015 blah blah blah. So the embedded new line's been replaced by a space. So to finish this topic, I wanted to demonstrate another use of this sort of command substitution. So I'm assuming there's a file called words with one word per line, and I wanted to construct a bash loop which processes this file. And all I'm going to do with it, just for demonstration purposes, is to echo each word and its length. So I've got an example written out in the notes, and it consists of a for loop, for space, as for space w, that's a variable, in space dollar, open parenthesis, cat space words, close parenthesis, and then on the next line do, then the next line echo space open double quotes dollar w space open parenthesis dollar open brace hash w close brace close parenthesis close double quotes. Now the next line, done. So what that's doing is the cat command is a way of, it just lists the contents of a file, and it's being used as a command substitution. So the for loop will see as it's executing a list of words that came out of the file. There's only 10 in this case. We'll come on to that in a minute. And it's simply setting the variable w to each word in sequence. The echo echoes the contents of that variable, and then it uses the way of computing the length of a variable, as we discussed in show 1648. If you want to go back and look at that, there's a link. There's loads of links in the notes to show its length. So I'll just put some typical output in the notes, words with a space and then a bracketed length of number of characters of the word. There is a faster way, an alternative and faster way of doing this without using cat, by the way, and I mention this because it's in the man page and I thought it was worth highlighting. Instead of cat, you use a less than sign. So dollar open parenthesis less than space words close parenthesis is the command substitution which lists the contents. So this was a real example. I like to always build the environment that I'm talking about just to prove that to myself that I'm not talking nonsense. So you might be interested to know how I generated the file of words. If you're not, then you just skip to the end. The loop that I did, I showed you the loop that I used, and I did it this way because I wanted to just demonstrate some of the things we've looked at over this sort of mini-series. So I've got a for loop, which is for space I space in space, and then we've got a brace expansion expression, which is open brace 1 dot dot 10 close brace. So we you should know what that means from the last episode in this series. It just generates the numbers 1 to 10. Next line is a do, to go with the 4. And then inside the loop, the first statement is an assignment to a variable. This time it's w. W equals dollar open parenthesis shuf, S-H-U-F, space, minus N1, space, and then a file which is slash user, USR, slash share, slash dict, D-I-C-T, slash words, close parenthesis. That is pretty much a standard system dictionary which contains a bunch of words. It's used by the various spell checkers and so forth that you can run on Linux. So that, the shuf command, is a thing that chooses a random line or lines from a file, short for shuffle. So in this case, I've told it to go to that file, give me one line chosen at random. So the next line consists of a modification to this variable w that's got the word in it. And I'm doing this because the words in this system dictionary often have possessive forms. So it'll have banana and then bananas with an apostrophe s. I thought, I'll just remove them. And anyway, it was a way of demonstrating stuff. So the expression I've got is w equals and then dollar and an open brace w percent open square bracket up arrow a hyphen z lowercase capital a hyphen z close square bracket star close brace. So you should recognize this. You should recognize this. You really should. As an example of the remove matching suffix pattern, as I discussed in show 1648. Okay, maybe you don't remember it, but it does is to look for a suffix inside the variable and remove it, where the suffix is defined by this percent and then some stuff. What I've done here is to say the stuff that it's looking for to define the suffix is any character which is not in the range lowercase a to z and uppercase a to z. So in other words, something that's probably going to be a hyphen, going to be an apostrophe, I should say. And then the asterisk after that means anything else up to the end of the word. And so I've asked it to remove that. So the banana apostrophe s would be trimmed down to banana by that means. Thought you might like that. Or not. Anyway, I liked it. I'm having fun. So the last line of the loop is the done, which is the way you close a loop. And that's followed, unusually, by a greater than sign, space, greater than space, then words. Words is the name of the file. And the... I forgot one line. There was an echo I forgot, which was echo dollar $w, which... echoes the word that's been pulled out of the file and then trimmed the tail end trimmed off if necessary. So the entire loop sends its output, which is a list of 10 words because it iterates 10 times, into a file called words. And you will know that because the earlier loop we wrote read that file. This uses what's known as redirection, and I've penciled in some notes about doing a show on the subject of redirection later on in this sub-series, or whatever you call it. Having written this, I thought, oh, maybe there's a way I can make this better. Of course, the shuf command can return multiple random words at a time. So I was able to change the loop to my final example, which is 4 space... W space in, and then the command substitution is dollar shuf, S-H-U-F space minus N10 space, and then the name of that system dictionary that we saw before, close parentheses. So what that is saying is loop as many times as you get back words from shuf, and shuf has been told to return 10 words, and put each word into the W variable. Then the loop just contains the one line, which is an echo. And the echo contains that remove matching suffix pattern expression that I rambled on about a little while ago. So that's simplified the whole thing quite a bit. and the whole loop is redirected to the file word. So if you run that, you just get a bunch of random words in that file. It overwrites the previous content, by the way, but I'm preempting my later chat about redirection if I'm going into too much detail there. All right, so that's about it. That took a lot longer than I thought it was going to. I thought these were two lightweight subjects, but according to my recorder, I'm now 36 minutes in. Hopefully I can trim that down a little bit by moving some of the gaps. Anyway, enough. You'll find in the full notes there are some manual page extracts where I've given you the gist of what you find in the Bash manual, and there's a bunch of links that point to previous shows and other Bash references. I hope you found that useful, and speak to you later. Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.